You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Top of the table, that's exciting. Bottom of the table, that's exciting. Like, that's the sort of football that you want to be. And these are the pressure games that in 15, 20 years' time, I will look back on and I will remember these are the important matches for me, not middle table teams.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
You were watching Liverpool beat Leicester 2-0 last night. Another chance, obviously, for Liverpool to remind Brendan Rodgers about that he was punching above his weight in that relationship. And that was certainly how it worked out last night. Only for Schmeichel, Vinny, it could have been a bit more.
Yeah, I thought Liverpool were really, really good. You know, started the game really well and just dominated Leicester. Leicester, I suppose, were under par as well, which helped Liverpool on the day. But I think there was huge positives for Liverpool. They've spent a month or nearly 6 weeks at this stage without Salah and Mane, and albeit they haven't played lots of league games, they've continuously won or done really well. So it was a really positive night for Liverpool. Diaz. Looks like, again, Liverpool's recruitment department, by and large, have made really good decisions over the last number of years. You compare that to other clubs, like Jota has been an amazing signing for them. And Diaz just looks like a proper, real Liverpool style of player under Klopp. He looks a perfect fit. He's only played a game and a half. And for me, he looks outstanding. Looks a real find. And to be honest with you, it might sound strange to some people, but you can see him putting Mane under lots of pressure. That's how good he is in that position for me. So it's what a manager wants, real strength and depth for Liverpool. So a really good night for them. Albeit I still have some concerns about the midfield. I think that's what's holding them back at the moment. But excellent night for Liverpool. And Alisson had almost nothing to do on the night.
Say all of Klopp's attacking options are fit for the second leg of the Inter Milan game, for example. Who are you starting now in that front three?
I suppose from a manager and where you're coming from, it would be hard not to go with Mane, Salah and Jota. They're the form three for Liverpool. Firmino's form has dipped off a little bit over the last sort of 12, 18 months, and which is great that Jota has come in and sort of scored all them goals. So, yes, at the moment, I would say Mane will come back into the team. But I'd be on red alert if I was saying this guy Diaz looks the real deal. And if he continues to do what he's doing, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes his place. But Liverpool's front three, you'd expect, would be Jota, Mane and Salah.
What's he doing, Vinny? What sort of a player is he? Why are you so bowled over by him?
I think he just looks like he suits Liverpool, which in terms of the way they play. So he's got that high energy. Liverpool obviously into that counter press. So it looks like that's where they scouted him, and obviously they've spotted that from his former clubs. But he's high press. He close people down, but also he's got real skill and ability on the ball. He's brilliant with the ball at his feet, dribbling. The goal the other day that Minamino scored, his sort of little 1-2 with himself on the end line, that great feat, quick feat, it was brilliant. So he looks like he has a bit of everything in terms of that work rate. There was a tackle last night where he recovered a 10-yard run, sliding tackle, won the ball back for Liverpool, and the stadium got to their feet for him. It's little things like that win fans over, and they're great. Like, James Milner has all of that stuff, but he has the other stuff as well. He has amazing feet, good close control, and I would say there's a goal scorer in him as well that will come in time. I'd say he's just waiting. I think if he gets one, it's only been a game and a half, I think he'll go on and score goals. So he looks genuine, looks the real deal, albeit it's only a game and a half.
Vinny, what's your take on where Brendan Rodgers and Leicester City are at? Because, like, Rodgers, speaking in the aftermath of the game, said that the set pieces are an Achilles heel for us, and they conceded again last night, that there are noticeable weaknesses in this team that, despite the injuries, it seems Rodgers is incapable of fixing at the moment. Like, it does seem the mood has changed and the stocks have lowered on Brendan Rodgers quite considerably over the last couple of months.
Yeah, it was interesting when Liverpool got the corner where I think it was Van Dijk got the free header, and then they scored off the second one just before that corner. So my friend of mine and I said to him, the two of us sort of agreed, this is a real chance for Liverpool because of, so if I know that and people sitting on the sofa know that, then Brendan Rodgers knows it, and you can be sure he's tried to fix it on the training ground. And I think there's a couple of things with Rodgers and where he stands. First of all, the loss of Fofana in the preseason friendly, where just a ridiculous tackle in, where he got his leg broken, has been a huge blow for them. Johnny Evans has missed a lot of the season. So they've been really short in that centre-half position. The Swedish international, Vestergaard, who I thought was a good player, he hasn't played either. He's been in and out of form. So there's been some... the problem hasn't been scoring goals, Leicester. It's been conceding. And as you alluded to there, set pieces, I think that's 13 goals last night, mate. I think it was 12 up until last night. So I think that's 13 set piece goals to give away. So that's a huge problem. And ultimately, that will come back to the manager. But when you lose, you know, big centre-half, like you've had to play in Didi at centre-half at different stages. So, yeah, I think you've got to give Rodgers a little bit of, he has credit in the bank for me. There will be a lot of noise around his job. But when you look at the team that started last night, Albrighton, Luckman and Daka as his front three, I mean, and he's picked them, but people like Vardy, obviously, is the obvious one, has missed a lot of football this year. But if you think back to 12, 18 months ago, Iheanacho was excellent for them. Tielemans, Harvey Barnes, people like that, Choudhury, these were first team players, and there's a lot of players have lost a bit of form or a lot of injuries in that club, and you've got to give Rodgers a little bit of time. And when you compare, say, a club like Leicester to Everton would love to have the headaches that Leicester are having at the moment, just going through a bad run, comfortably mid-table, but over the last 3 years I think they finished fifth twice and won an FA Cup. But I think you've got to just breed a little bit if you own Leicester or you support them, and give Rodgers a little bit of time to turn around. For me,
that's coming from a football manager, and like, football is not often like that, Vinny. Look, at you're right, and also the thing is, like, there's plenty of teams, good teams in the Premier League, that are going to lose 2-0 to Liverpool this season as well. But you mentioned, I think it was Iheanacho, one of the players that he ditched out last night after the Forest game at the weekend. He is the favourite in the market to be the next Premier League manager that's sacked. The conversation will start to bubble up unless he arrests us sometime soon. From what you were seeing last night, did there look like, in terms of the relationship between Rodgers, and you were saying obviously there's a very obvious situation unfolding in the pitch and his ability to change that, did it look in a footballing sense, when you forget about the noise, like as if there was a growing detachment from what you could see last night? Or was it stuff that you think, if he could just regroup? I know obviously you're talking about players' form, that's an impossible one to know how to fix that in quick order. But from what you could see last night, like, how close do you think that, when I talk about the market and how close he is to the exit door, how close could you see in a football sense last night to his ability to turn it around or otherwise?
No, I get the noise. Like, I get, I'm obviously pragmatic in terms of being someone who's a coach and is looking at the bigger picture, and football doesn't run that way, and football clubs don't generally run that way. But and one thing that I did notice is they didn't go into the market in the January window. So that's where we don't know exactly what's going on in the club. So they signed three players last summer for around 50, 55 million. But by all accounts, Leicester City lost 60, 70 million in the pandemic through gate receipts, et cetera, like anyone else. So while they've got very wealthy owners, they're not the billionaires of others. So there may be a process in that club where it's a rebuild. When you look at Luke Thomas at fullback, Justin, the other fullback, young players, Dewsbury Hall in midfield, there may be a little process going on in Leicester where it's just a rebuilding process. And as I said, when you add in those players, like we all thought Tielemans was good enough. Well, a lot of us considered someone like Tielemans good enough to go to him, maybe a Manchester United, maybe do a job in Liverpool. And I still think he has that capabilities. But he's been on the bench a little bit of late. He's lost a bit of form. And managers take responsibility for players losing form. So I think it's a combination of all of those little bits and pieces that would I be shocked if Brendan Rodgers went to Liverpool or to Manchester United at the end of the season? No, I wouldn't be shocked. Would it be a difficult job for him? Yes, because of his Liverpool connections, etc., etc. But he is held in a high regard in English football. He is an outstanding manager. And I just think where you consider that Leicester club and what he's done in his time there, winning the FA Cup, as I said, for the first time in their history, and being in around that sort of fifth position, outside of the so-called top six, he's done a remarkable job. And I think if Arteta won an FA Cup this year and finished fifth, it would be considered close enough to success. And that's what Rodgers has generally done with Leicester. So I'm on his side on this one. I think we've got to breathe a little bit and give him some time. And hopefully, not that the Leicester board will be listening to me, but I hope that's what they do.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I don't think like there's any question of his job being under threat. I guess the conversation around Rodgers was such a glowing one a year ago. And as you say, the Manchester United links seemed real, even when Lampard was sacked as Chelsea manager. It felt like there was going to be a Chelsea move for Brendan Rodgers. So I guess the question is, can you see him getting back into that conversation again? Because it does seem that the Manchester United one is a separate case because, I don't know, people needed to be reminded of his Liverpool history or something, and maybe Rafa and how quickly he was hounded out of Everton maybe would dissuade the club from going after a previous manager of a rival.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point on that. You know, the Rafa thing is in people's mind at the moment. Whether it's in people at board level, that's separate. I don't know, but I understand that comparison. So the only difference is he's probably... I just think someone like Rodgers goes in and he revitalizes the club from the bottom all the way up. And I think that's probably what Manchester United need. We're not discussing Manchester United at the moment, but when you consider what they've done in appointing Ranić, and you consider he walked into the job on his own. I was at his first game against Young Boys, and I was there for the warm-up and the nerd in me, and I was there an hour and a half early. It was just bizarre to see him walking in on his own. No assistant manager, no coaching staff came with him, no team of people came with him. And you think of the modern-day coach comes with a team of 5, 6, 7, up to 12 people. And when you compare that to, say, a Rodgers going in, there's no way he would be that underprepared that Ranić looks like. And the results of the way Ranić is so underprepared is playing out on the pitch, because there's no difference to them than what they were under Solskjaer. Maybe a difference in shape, but not in results. So Rodgers, for me, would be a brilliant fit for Manchester United. But do I think he'll get the job? I don't think so. I think he's got a job in his hands. He's under a bit of noise and pressure. I get that. I would like to think not in the club for all the reasons I pointed out. But you wouldn't be shocked if this Leicester side got a few players back, and Fofana is back training. They got a few players back and ended up in sort of 6th, 7th come the end of the season. And I think Rodgers has pointed out that the squad does need rebuilding. As I said, when you look at Luckman, who's on loan from the German club, and you look at Albrighton, they're not players that are going to get you wingers. They're going to get you into the top 6, 5 in the Premiership at the moment, the way the league is being played. So, and as I said, they're scoring enough goals. It's just they've lost so many centre-halves that there's enough of a case to make for Brendan Rodgers, I have to say.
I just wanted to ask you one more thing about Liverpool last night, Vinny, and there does seem to be a little bit of frustration from a Liverpool supporting standpoint about Curtis Jones and maybe his lack of intent when it comes to being in possession of the ball and not releasing the ball quick enough from midfield. It does seem that maybe Harvey Elliott, if we're looking at the stocks of those young Liverpool midfielders, is a touch above Curtis Jones at the moment. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it is on terms of what you see on the pitch. I thought the difference when Harvey Elliott came on last night was was outstanding. He gave the whole crowd a lift, and obviously Salah came on at the same time as well, so the noise level went up. For me, that's a concern in Liverpool in terms of their midfield. I think Jordan Henderson has missed a lot of football at different stages. So I think if Liverpool are playing their best midfield, it's probably Fabinho, Henderson. And now, at this stage, there's an argument between Harvey Elliott and Thiago. And that's how good, and I think Elliott has looked when he's played for them. But I still think they need to be careful. I think they need to get a player into that midfield because they just can't rely on Henderson. And the way they want to play in terms of that high line, that high press, you look at someone like Bellingham, Jude Bellingham, and you say, they need to go out and spend big money on a player like that. And it's a bit like Diaz. Are we seeing the end of Jota? The recruitment seeing the end of Firmino to a point in terms of his form was dropping off. Great bit of business, got Jota in, and he's now taking Firmino's role. You can see Diaz is going to put Mane under pressure, as I said. So they've got to now act and go after a big-name player into that midfield, because we've talked on the show before about how Liverpool play, that high press. There's a reason everyone wants to know why Liverpool are playing that high press, and it looks like they're about to concede a goal. And Klopp's mindset is almost like, well, if they score two, we'll score three because of our high press. So it's that midfield position. They don't play the way Man City do, so they don't have a Gundogan, a Silva, bopping the ball around and short passes. It's high energy and it's high speed in there. So I think they've got to go and spend big this summer. And it looks like if they're going to close the gap on Man City or stay at that highest level, and you would say that someone like Bellingham looks like the real deal for a club like Liverpool. So, or maybe they've got someone else in mind, but they need someone in that midfield, because that is a concern. It looks like they're an injury two away from really struggling in midfield.
Yeah, big problems there. Vinny, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much. See you soon.
Vinny Perth on the line there on all things football. Peter G on YouTube wonders if Arsenal are becoming the biggest shithouses in the Premier League. That's a statement I never thought that anybody would ever cross anybody.
Put your hand off for that title, I think it's fair to say, Peter.
Old man hurling sounds like good fun, says Sachin. Half-paced hurling is probably just elite level in Westmeath. Next up, Adrian plays County, says Izzult Cody. Good morning to you, Izzult. Thanks for the insult.
You forgot the comment there from Cormac Dively, who just says, the Athlone bone.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have you back.
I think that's a regular one. And Kaizen on YouTube, I'm having this all day long. Carty will fulfil his destiny in the quarterfinal, lads. Just watch. It's written, isn't it? Carberry gets injured. Sexton gets injured. Carberry's out of form. Everybody turns to Carty and deliverance. You having it?
No. Well, like, I mean, if that's what the reality is, then I think we'll all have that. But whether or not that's likelihood, I'm not sure. Like, there was a moment yesterday when I saw the Sexton injury news before I saw the team sheet, and I was like, could he actually go Carty ahead of Carberry here? I wasn't 100% sure.
Legit question.
Yeah, but he's obviously there's so much in. So much hope in Carberry. I mean, that's the thing that it does feel that we've been quite down on Carberry this morning because of his injury past. But the thing is that the reason why we talk about him so much is the genuine hope and the genuine glimpses that we've seen from him in the past. So there's no question who's got the higher ceiling.
Come Monday morning, if he's nailed it on Saturday, this conversation will be totally forgotten. It'll be like Joey Carberry. It's it. I mean, he'll be putting pressure on Sexton now for the World Cup. This tends to be what happens, and that will be legitimate if he goes to Paris and knocks it out the ballpark. Then that's a legitimate conversation. Here's what's happening on the back pages for you this morning. Jump for Joy says the Irish Daily Mail, fairly excited as Carberry gets his big chance. Jota just gets hotter as Reds keep up chase. He was always going to be long-term Liverpool, wasn't he, Owen? Let's face it, like, this guy was never leaving Liverpool. He's Liverpool through and through.
Yes.
Madam boy.
Absolutely.
Keane fails to agree terms with Sunderland, writes Craig Hope as well. That is a bizarre enough one for me. It seems like, I mean, look, at who knows what's happening behind the scenes. We'll probably hear about it because he'll be appearing on some media outlet near you soon, and we'll probably get the details of it. But on the face of it, I would slightly go against what I think might be the general thinking in that, like, he was right to turn it down. I think if everything was even as he would need it in terms of contract and support and all that sort of stuff, regardless of the level they're at, that's Roy Keane's level now.
I'd like to get the inner working of what actually happened over the last little while and on whose end it actually fell down on. I mean, you were relatively hopeful, were you, last week that Keane could do a good job?
I was hoping he would do it. The phrase I think I used at the time was that he owed it to himself to do it. We don't know behind the scenes. Maybe the contract wasn't been met. Maybe he wasn't been given funds to buy players. Who knows what the little stipulations were that were going on. He'd had a couple of interviews, obviously, with them, and something somewhere fell down. He was obviously interested enough in taking over a League One team to meet them twice, so I don't think that was a factor. And nor should it be for a guy who's been out of the game for 10 years and who speaks very publicly and in a forthright manner about his desire to get back into it.
Yeah,
he won't. I mean, Championship is possibly even a little bit beyond him at this point.
Yeah, well, it's like possibly is like it's an unbelievably tough division to manage in. Like, does he now? Does he got like that hunger for it where he just inserts himself into the carousel once again and he just goes for the next job? I'm not sure. It does feel that there was like a certain connection to Sunderland that was a big part of the story as well.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help you and your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.